So this morning, we're continuing our study that we've been involved in on for several Sunday mornings in our lessons on the topic of salvation and works. And this morning's study will hopefully be tying together a lot of what we've already seen as we then get to really the meat of the study and what will help us to understand what we need to do in order to have eternal salvation. And as we started the study, we were noting that the Lord speaks about different kinds of works. And he does talk about the broad categories of works that are either God's works or works of man. We touched on a little bit at that time when we were noting that distinction and how God makes that distinction in his word. And we looked at a few examples of each and also noted that the devil is the one that is behind man's works that are not God's works. And those works will not save man. Only God's works will. We did look at one category of God's works that God did not design to save man, and that was the works of the Old Testament law. So we'll get to see all of that now in our next point, as we want to look further into the works of man and how man is not saved by his works. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 41, Acts 7 verse 41, it says, "And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands." This is in reference to the children of Israel when they went out of Egypt into the wilderness. And then Moses was in Mount Sinai, where he was for 40 days and 40 nights to receive the tables of stone from God with the law that he was giving to the children of Israel. And while he was up there in the mount, the people took of all those things that they had, the gold and the jewels that they had spoiled the Egyptians with, according to God's blessings upon them. Well, they ended up making a golden calf. But notice it says that they rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Of course, their own hands had made that golden calf, and the worship of that golden calf that they made. These were not God's works, obviously. In fact, this was a violation of the first two commandments of that of the Ten Commandments that God wrote on those tables of stone that Moses was in the mount at that very time receiving those commandments to have no other gods before him and not to make unto themselves any graven image. Well, they were doing that right at this very moment. But these were the works of their own hands. These were not works of God. These were their own works, and they were evil. And obviously, the works of men's hands are not going to bring about his eternal salvation. And we have a number of passages in the New Testament that speak about our own works and how they will not save us. And we need to understand what those works are, and so that we will turn away from them and not be lost, because our salvation depends upon doing the works of God under the law of Christ. And as we've seen before, those works, those good works, are the commandments that God has given us. So he's given us those great commandments, those very precious commandments, by Christ and the New Testament. And when we keep his word, he does truly perfect his love in us, and he will ultimately save us for all eternity when we follow Christ and do those works that he has commanded us to do. So we need to do those works and none other. Well, that includes the works, our own works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, we see a contrast between man's works and God's works in these verses. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Well, how many kinds of works does he refer to in those three verses? Well, we see two very plainly spoken of, works that will not save us and works that will. Well, what are the works that he says will not save us? Well, he says that we are saved by grace through faith. Now, we've noted before at the very outset of our study that faith itself is a work of God. So there's a work of God that he plainly states is required for our eternal salvation. That is faith. God has given us his grace, and it's the grace of God that brings salvation to every man, as he tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, that grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto every man. So God has, by his favor, provided the opportunity and the means by which we can have eternal salvation. It is not unconditional, otherwise we would have universal salvation, which is not the case. We see one of the conditions right here. We are by grace, we are saved through faith. So that's one of the works of God that we must do in order to obtain eternal salvation. He says, "And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So whose works is he speaking of there that our eternal salvation will be not of or by? Well, our own. "That not of yourselves," he says, "not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, it would be very easy here to conclude that he's talking about that other category of works that we saw, that the category of works which are works of God that do not save us, that being the works of the Old Testament law. But one of the things that we were attempting to be very careful with when we were looking at that point about the works of the Old Testament law was to note that in all those cases where he's referring to those works, the context is very clear that that's what God is talking about. And so we saw, for example, in when we were looking in the book of Romans in chapter 3, as we looked at quite a bit of that chapter, in the very beginning of that chapter, he's asking what advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Clearly talking about Jew versus Gentile in terms of the law, the circumcision being the token of that old covenant. Then he went on further to speak about in verse 20, that by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That is the works of the law, the Old Testament law in that context. In contrast to what he says there in verse 22, even where the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, is how we will be justified before God. So there's the law of Christ, as opposed to the works of the Old Testament law. So it was very clear from the context. He was speaking about the works of the law of Moses, the Old Testament law, when he said those works will not justify man. The same was also true when we were looking in Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through 33, when he was talking about Gentiles who had attained to righteousness, the righteousness which is of faith, and then spoke about Israel that did not seek it by faith, but by the works of the law, clearly talking about their law, the Old Testament law. Same was also true when we were looking at Galatians chapter 2 in verses 14 through 16, actually all the way down into chapter 3 to verse 10, as he started in verse 14, speaking about Jew and Gentile concerning The law, and knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, in verse 16 of Galatians 2, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So he was talking about the works of the Old Testament law in those passages, and Romans and Galatians particularly, also in Acts 15 that we looked at. But in all of those cases, we were noting that the works of the Old Testament law were established very clearly by the context. Well, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 is not like that. He's not speaking about the works of the Old Testament law. That's not the context. That's not the statement. He doesn't say not of the works of the law. He's talking about, as he says, that not of yourselves. He's talking about our works, as he does in a number of places in his word. Our own works are not going to save us. God's works will. And so if we are trying to establish our own righteousness, and we are following our own way, we're not going to be saved. God is not going to accept what we do when we are doing things our own way. He will only accept when we do what are good works, those works that he has given us to do, which is what he tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So there is where we find the good works that we must do in order to be saved. That is starting with our faith in Christ, and then by that faith, all the works that we must do in obedience to Christ by his law. And God has before ordained that we should walk in them, in those good works in Christ Jesus. So those are the works that will save us. Our own works will not. We see something very similar, really identical, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. He says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That is exactly what Ephesians chapter 2 is speaking about. But here he says, not according to our works. We're not going to be saved by our works. That's the subject here. God has saved us with a holy calling. He has not saved us according to our works. He's not talking about the works of the Old Testament law there either. He's talking about our works. And we are not going to be saved by our own works. Who was the first that tried to do that we're told about? Well, we hearken back to Genesis chapter 4, when God commanded Cain and Abel to make a sacrifice, and he told them what to sacrifice of the first of the flocks. Abel obeyed God, and he did the works of God, and his sacrifice was accepted by God. God had respect unto Abel and his offering, because they were God's works, obedience to God's commandment. Cain offered his own works. That was not, obviously, not the works of the Old Testament law. That was many, many, many centuries into the future. But he did his own works. He offered what he decided to offer and brought of the fruit of the ground, and God did not have respect to Cain or his offering. Those were his own works, and they were not accepted by God. And how many people today are following their own way, trying to establish their own righteousness, making up their own doctrines, their own commandments, and claiming to be following God when they're doing their own works? Well, that's what we see throughout the religious world today. And certainly that is the hallmark of denominationalism, and that is unacceptable to God. In Titus chapter 3, 4 through 5, Titus 3, 4 and 5, we see the same point also made. He says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Now, in all of this, he doesn't say not of any works at all, just like when he was talking about the works of the Old Testament law that do not justify us. And he said we are not justified by the works of the Old Testament law. He didn't say that we're not justified or saved by any works. There are many that try to do that, say that, but that's not what the scriptures say. In those places where he's speaking about the works of the law, it's clearly about the Old Testament law. and those works do not save a man and will not justify a man. Well, in these passages we're looking at in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, 2 Timothy 1, 9, here in Titus 3, 4, and 5, in all of these cases, he's speaking about our works and that our works will not save us, our own works. We have to do the works of God in order to be saved. This is very clearly brought out in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, Romans 10, 1 through 3. And he's speaking about the children of Israel here, but he's not talking about, in this case, they're following the works of the Old Testament law. That wouldn't save them either. But how many of the children of Israel, especially their leaders, were following the law of Moses? I mean, that was a point that Jesus made over and over again. They were hypocrites. They gave lip service to that. With their lips and their mouths, they honored God. Their heart was far from him, and they were, and that's why Jesus said, in vain they do worship me, who teach for doctrines the commandments of men. Whose traditions, whose commandments, whose doctrines were they establishing and following? They weren't even following those works of the law that they were under, that they had been given by God through the law of Moses. They were following their own works, and he speaks about that here in Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And there's the underlying issue with the works of men, and why they will not save us. When we are establishing our own righteousness, and what is righteousness? That's right doing. When we're saying, here's what is right to do, and we're making it up ourselves, or some other man is, and we're following it. But when it's made up by man, when man is saying, here's what's right, and they're establishing that as righteousness, how can we submit to God's righteousness and what he says is right when we're doing what we say is right? Those aren't the same. And he's not going to accept us when we are going about to establish our own righteousness. Even if someone, and Jesus spoke about how the Pharisees did give their tithes. I mean, there were some commandments that God gave that they did follow. He didn't say, well, you shouldn't be doing that. He said that you ought to have done, but they should not have been doing the other works they were doing, which were their own works. And that's why Jesus told his disciples when they were sitting in Moses' seat, when they were teaching what God said through Moses, he says that observe and do. But he says, do you not after their works? So they should not follow the works of those leaders who were establishing their own righteousness. We're not going to be accepted by God by having a mixture where we follow some of his commandments, some of his doctrines, and then we're following some of our own. We have to fully turn away from all of the works of men, all of the things that are traditions and doctrines of men, and submit ourselves unto the righteousness of God, and to submit ourselves unto the righteousness of God and do his works, which are what the good works are in Christ. We have to do his works exclusively and fully, and none of our own. So we cannot be saved by our own works. So we do want to look in some more detail about the works of God that will save us, and that is through the gospel of Christ. We do have a few more minutes, so we'll just get started a little bit on this, and then we'll make this the focus of our study together, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, which will hopefully be one that does not involve any kind of ice. But let's start in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Because we would much rather be all together in the same place next Lord's Day, if he wills. But Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. He is also our example to follow. And what example do we see in verse 8? Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Well, whom did he obey? He obeyed his father. And to what extent? We remember John chapter 8 and verses 28 and 29, where Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. So which of Jesus' own works did he do? Now, he did fulfill all of the works of the Old Testament law. He was under that. He's the only one that was never cursed by that law, by never having committed any sin under that law, under any law that God gave him. He fulfilled God's will in everything, but he did nothing of himself. He did none of his own works. Nothing that he said or did or thought was of himself. He did only and always what pleased his father, as he said, it says in verse 29 of John 8. So he learned obedience to his father, and obedience to his father meant obeying all of his father's will to that point of that death on the cross. He said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of himself. He followed his father's will and fulfilled and obeyed all of his commandments to the point of going to the cross and suffering that death, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, as he teaches us about his mind in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Well, that's the mind he's speaking about here in Hebrews 5, verse 8. So there we see the obedience of Christ that he learned and followed. And who is Jesus going to save? And who is going to obtain eternal salvation? In verse 9, it says, in being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, just a few minutes ago, we read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And in verse 8, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Well, is there a contradiction in Ephesians 2, verse 8 from what we read here in Hebrews 5, verse 9? For by grace are you saved through faith. Here it says he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Are we saved by grace through faith, or are we saved by obeying him? Well, it is not an either or. Those two things go together. For by grace we are saved through faith. What kind of faith? It's a faith that works, which is a living faith, as God defines it. And that is what obedience is, when we obey his commandments. Those are the works that our faith must have, works of obedience to God, doing those good works, fulfilling his will. So for by grace, by God's grace, we are saved through our faith in Christ, and that faith that fulfills all of his will by obeying all of his commandments. So Ephesians 2, verse 8, Hebrews 5, verse 9, they complement each other beautifully. They are both speaking about the same thing, putting all of that those parts together. Faith is a work of God, and all the other commandments are works of God that we must fulfill in order to have eternal salvation. So we will see that as the foundation of where we want to go and what we want to build upon in our study, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, as we want to deeply look at those works of God through Christ that will save us.